trying to hold for a final shot. Irving, Durant for three. Yes.
Minus three with Dave Dameshek.
Oh, I told you so. They don't even need James Harden to lay waste to them Bucks. Early game three line, Bucks laying four. Awfully optimistic. Game two on Tuesday night, Sixers laying six. Total on that one, 224.5. Wednesday night, Bruins, in fact, a must-win game. And I mean it. It really is a must-win game, or the season's over for them. The Isles in a good spot now, up 3-2 in that series. I say that one's going to overtime. Bet that one, plus 290. Yanks in the Twin Cities on Tuesday. Panetta v. Montgomery, minus 108 are the Yanks. Metropolitans and O's, a 1970 World Series redo. Peterson v. Zimmerman. Mets, minus 116 on the money line there. Baseball on both ends of the Keystone State. Phils hosting the Braves. Smiley v. Nola. Phils, minus 166 on the money line. And then the battling Buccos of Pittsburgh hosting the champion Dodgers. Plus 172 is the home team on the money line. Hi and hello and welcome to Minus 3. Presented as always by FanDuel Sportsbook. Tune in all season long for exclusive offers and odds boost FanDuel. More ways to win. And while you're making your bet, make sure you do it. Help your pals out here at Minus 3. FanDuel.com/minus3. It's the word minus the number 3. That's how to make it really count. And follow along all the fun at Minus 3 Pod on Twitter and beyond. Eddie Spaghetti, I told you, I told everybody, Kevin Hench kept saying it. All right, it got a little bit bumpy for us with all these injuries with the Nets big three, but here we are proving they don't even need all three of them to flat out dominate the Milwaukee Bucks. I kind of feel bad for their fans at this point. This is supposed to be a team that it... Oh, that's a, I don't know what that means. That's a weird. Oh, you know what? Let's say hello to our guest today. He's one of our favorites. We've known him now for several years. We met up over at the NFL, and he's proven himself to be a delightful soul and wise in the ways of sports and sports gambling. You listen to him on the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast here at Extra Points on Fox Sports Radio all the time with our pal, with our pals Rob Parker and Chris Broussard. It's Martin Weiss. What's the poop, fella?
How's Sheck, man? Good to be here. Spaghetti, good to see you. I talk to Spaghetti every day, but it's weird because I'm actually seeing him in person. You look the same. You look good.
Do you think a man of his advanced age has no dignity when he walks around with a hat backwards and a tank top? You know, you, Martin, have proven to be on the wrong side of history by jumping in. You don't have to get into the conversation about flip-flops, and yet you decided to insert yourself into it like a man inserts his big toe and index toe in between.
Right now, on my feet.
The little thong thing. What's wrong with you? Listen. There are concessions that must be made. You have the right to the pursuit of happiness. I don't want to get in the way of that. That's right. That's in our Constitution. But also, all people are supposed to have that same right. And your pursuit of happiness in flip-flops is getting in the way of my happiness. Do you understand? It makes me sick. I don't need to see grown men's feet out and about. There are concessions made. I don't need to see your armpit hair unless you're playing in a basketball game. I don't need to see you walking around in your tank top and otherwise. Come on. Meet me halfway. You understand, Martin?
Check. I understand the self-loathing that's coming out here, right? Because you got ugly feet, right? And you got hairy arms, right? And, you know, I understand. I'm sorry. Not everyone is blessed with the body type that me and Spaghetti got, okay? But I'm sure there's a ton of things that you got that we don't. Like an amazing Pittsburgh accent.
Well, I thought you were speaking more anatomically, and you are correct. you know, listen, no. Do I have ugly feet relative to other fellas? No. I have feet like a man, which is to say they shouldn't be out and about for others to stare at while people are trying to eat food. You know, the fair sex, okay, they can do it. I'll allow for that, but come on, let's cover up our feet, fellas. You know, women wear high heels. You know, that's a concession on some level. If they're that shave their legs and everything, we can make an effort, right? We can put away our feet. We can sock them up, go closed-toe shoe, and otherwise. And that's where I come down on this. And I think the majority of no one wants bare feet on an airplane. No one wants to see bare men's okay. bare feet anywhere. Whoa. But anyhow.
Bare feet on an airplane. It's so much simpler because you don't worry about untying your shoes and putting them through the whole TSA.
Do you think I want to stand in the security line when the person's like, hey, stand here, and they're like, stand in this spot where 4 seconds ago some strange man's bare stinking feet were standing there. Now I got to put my socks there? Gross.
I shower probably twice a day, and my feet are clean. It's the same thing if people have smelly feet with shoes on, too. So, yeah, I wear tank tops, basketball jerseys if it's hot out. This weekend, going to be nice in Santa Monica. You'll see me at the beach with probably a jersey on and flip-flops. And guess what? My thonged flip-flops have bottle openers on each of the bottom of the shoes. So that's what I wear.
I mean, the extended right, utility is impressive. I just would love to hear Shaq on public restrooms. I mean, if you can't stand in a barefooted spot, I can only imagine where you sit.
Well, I don't. I take every precaution to see to it that I never have to pay visit to a public bathroom for serious business. Now, listen, if it's an in and out, make some water and go about my day. Yeah, I mean, that's fine for me, but anything more than that would really have to be an emergent situation. Hey, speaking of emergent situation, I want to hear on Minus Three today. We're obviously big fans of Eddie Spaghetti and what he's done on our hockey talk, our East Division hockey talk, along with Spaghetti and Meatballs. Our guy, Mikey Meatballs. I'm just sick of my balls, Spaghetti. This all-time hockey division that the Pittsburgh Penguins won, and it feels like now 5 months ago that happened. And now the Islanders are going to beat the Bruins, too, because the referees of the NHL just changed the way they call the games, and it tilts in favor of anybody who – it's not goonism, but that physical play. They let some plays go in the postseason that they wouldn't in the regular season. You can put a stick into skilled guys as they try to fly by you, slows it down, and it makes the game less enjoyable ultimately. But anyway – muzzle tough to Meatballs there. We'll hear from Hench on the other side of game six, and we'll see how he's feeling there. I did make the overtime suggestion there. Bet it at FanDuel.com/-3. I have a hunch about this one, given the stakes and how tight these games have been this series. I feel like this one's going overtime, like I say. +290 if you want to get in on that and bet that one. But I don't suspect that we want to do a lot of hockey talk here with Martin Weiss as hockey season is almost over in the East Division, like I say. Let's talk some NBA, some football, and really whatever Spaghetti you and our other pal Martin Weiss want to kibitz about. I kind of want to grease the skids for you to take the show in whatever direction you want. What shall we start with, Martin Weiss?
I was looking at this rundown list right here, and I just want to know, is there any job that you can do after 75 besides be president or coach college football?
Why? Because Nick Saban has Nick Saban
77. He'll be 77 by the time the extension ends there.
I mean, my grandparents, my grandmother died in 2020. I think she was 79 when she passed away, right? 79, 80 years old. Most people who I've come into contact with over the age of like 65-ish, they don't got much going on. You know, they're kind of just sitting around.
I think you can, to answer your question, one, you can be a zoo ambassador. Like the people who just sit there in the chair and like they point you in a general direction, like where's the lizard exhibit? That's what old people do. And two, you can hold one end of the hash mark sticks, the first down markers on a football field. That's also for octogenarians.
You could wave high when you walk into like your big box store, right? You know, just your department store or whatever. But like outside of that, college football and president is pretty much all you got. Like if you want to make a significant amount of money, I feel like you got it. There's only two options there if you're a 70 or up, because they won't even put you on TV anymore, Lou Holtz.
I know. Well, it's funny, and that we have now Belichick, and we love talking about what's going on with the Patriots and what they're going to be in 2021 in that AFC East, which, like every NFL division, is right now in June. We are in this sweet spot. We talk about it all the time here, Martin, that the NFL, for whatever reason, based on the way things have broken with free agency and the quality of quarterbacks coming out in college and any number of reasons why this is true, but the way things set up every year, you can make a case for almost every NFL team going to the playoffs. It's very hard to say, like, oh, I guarantee you that team is not going to the playoffs. In fact, Spaghetti, let's do that right now. Impromptu, Martin Weiss, give us a team that is definitely not going to the playoffs, and I'll ask you to keep it to our three divisions here on Minus Three. We focus on the NFC East, the AFC East, and the AFC North. Tell us one team from those three divisions that is definitely not going to the playoffs this year.
You said NFC East, AFC East, and AFC North.
That's right.
The team that is definitely
not going to. I know you're going to try to be a wise ass, but you're going to be a wise ass with your answer here, and I know it. But go ahead.
Wow. Go ahead. I was going to say,
should we make the stakes more difficult, though? Should we remove the Jets, the Bengals, and like. You all right, if there's a fair game, I was going to say make us tougher. Remove those teams that most people think are going to be the bottom of the league.
You know what?
Interestingly enough, the Jets nor the Bengals were on my list. As I was about to say the team, and you cut me off, but the Jets nor the Bengals weren't even top of mind. The first one to me was the Washington football team.
Really? Like definitely like not going to the playoffs.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because?
I mean, because I think that the Giants or the Cowboys will win the division.
I'm with you on the Giants. I said that last week, and I made a big announcement to ingratiate myself to Eddie Spaghetti. And what are their win? The season win total is for those Giants is over 7. You can get pretty good odds on that. Over 7 is minus -125. I think they win
the
division.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Giants probably win the division, but I still think you said a 7.5 for their.
It's 7 over, wins, minus -125.
7 wins. I do think that it's a 9-8 division, whatever it is with 17 games now. I think it's so. I don't think the wild card will come from there. I think your wild card will be from the NFC South and then the NFC West. You might have two from the NFC West because you have three wild cards, but. That's where I would put my bread is to have there. So I would think that the Washington football team is going to probably be. That's my take. Brian Fitzpatrick does not get it done.
That's exactly right. I said this on a pod recently.
I hear you on that.
Fitzpatrick will have his magical moments like we always see on national television after he's already benched once in the season and because fans are going to be calling for Heineke to come in because after his playoff game. And then because you're going to get a string of Fitzpatrick games where he's throwing 3-4 interceptions. They're not winning football games. Like, yeah, their D-line's great. Their front seven's great. Even their offensive weapons now are getting a lot better than they were last season. But it's still Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then he'll come back and have a big moment. Everyone's going, oh, he's great. But I would right now, Eagles and WFT, just scratch them off the list. They're not going to be. And I totally agree with Martin, too. There's no way the East is getting a wild card team. It's going to come from the South or the West.
There are a handful of QBs who, in the push and pull against NFL defenses, who they get to the league and they – surprised with their talent, and then defenses react to that, and then it's on the quarterback to react to what defenses are trying to take away from them. Some guys just ain't cut out to be running out there 16 games and now 17 games perennially and carrying a team. You can be a passenger and not make mistakes, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is a gunslinger of sorts. I kind of like this pick, as a matter of fact. And some guys are better served as relief pitchers. They can play hero. They come in periodically. They surprise the foe, and then they shrink back to the sidelines. I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a great recipe for success, but Heineke is another one. I still think maybe – it's weird that Ron Rivera – it's always telling – when a guy who's had success or has been around a player for a stretch of time, the way Rivera was around Cam Newton, I feel like I'm a big Cam guy, and I feel like if Cam has a big 2021, I mean a really good one, he is still in line to go to the Hall of Fame. I know that upsets a lot of people when I say it, but I do think that they're the wild card of the whole AFC, and they may even actually be a literal wild card by January, but it's hard to gauge what that team's going to be, what kind of damage they're going to inflict on the Dolphins and the Bills, who everybody's in on this year. I wonder, though, if they should have gone. To me, from the outside, I feel like if they had gotten Cam Newton, they would really be scary, especially with how good that defense, I'm assuming, is going to be this year. But the Bengals, you say, like, oh, well, they're easy to pick there. Sal and other people consider them great value to win the North. I think that's a little crazy, but over 5.5 is +120. I think that's over 6.5.
Hold on, wait. Sal said the Bengals are going to win the North?
He didn't say they're going to. He said they provide compelling value. In fact, they do. Who's picking that team against the other three in the AFC North? They did do some interesting stuff on defense. I guess it depends on how hip you are on Joe Burrow, which you are high on Joe Burrow, right, Martin Weiss?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, the Steelers are going to, I think the Steelers will take a step back. But the idea that that's from worst to first. And I get it, Burrow's knees back. That's just a lot going on. But you know what, though? I will say this about the Bengals. This is something that I like that professional teams do. When you see a team that's successful in college, they just go get all their players, right? It's like they just drafted all LSU. Like the Knicks. The Knicks, what do? They sign like everybody from Kentucky. Randall, quickly, let's just get all these guys from Kentucky. I like that strategy. It seems to make sense to me. Like, we know that these guys have had a level of success together at one place. Maybe we can rectify it here. Urban Meyer also did it.
There are worse strategies to apply there. So your formal pick is Washington football team. And by the way, I don't think we were talking nearly enough about this. We're really going to go into year two of one of the 32 big brands, the most popular sport in our society. We're going to make it year two with a team that doesn't have a name. I didn't think we could get worse than professional sports teams that are singular, that don't have an S at the end of it, Heat or Wild or otherwise. I was wrong. This is crazy. All you have to do, the basic requirement is the first thing you do is, oh, we got a team? Great. What are we going to call it? We're going to play another season without this? It's vexing to me. But anyway, that's a good call. Spaghetti, you want to throw one in here?
Yeah, I could. I'll step out of it. I can give the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to be by far, far and away, fourth place team in the East. AFC East. I'm going to give my shocking take that will get people to listen to this segment, and the reason is the New England Patriots are not making the playoffs this year. I'm going to...
No playoffs for you!
I know people are saying that they had a bunch of guys sit out for COVID. You know, what's the saying? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. But so they're going to be juggling those pieces. I think them not getting Julio was actually a humongous mistake because I still don't trust their receiving core. And really what it comes down to is I think the Jets will be more competitive than they are. And I said this weeks ago, I really love the Dolphins. And I think having the Dolphins and the Bills being good, especially the Bills potentially being a great team, I think with the Dolphins, I kind of believe in Tua. And I just think even if Tua is league average, if he's number 16 quarterback out of 32, the rest of the roster is really good. They had a really good draft, and I fully buy into Brian Flores, a Belichick disciple. I think he's building a really, really good foundation there in Miami. So just that alone, with two teams in the division arguably better than you, the worst team getting a little bit better this past offseason in the Jets, I don't buy enough into the Patriots. So to not give a Jets or a Bengals pick, I'm going to go with the shocking one. I'm going to say the New England Patriots will not be in the playoffs this upcoming season.
Somewhere along the way, I thought Martin Weiss fell asleep there, the way he fell back in his chair. What upset you there, Martin?
Nothing upset me. I was trying to do the math, right? I'm like, all right. Because at first I heard him say Patriots, and all of a sudden I said, oh, this guy is... You know, I traffic in inflammatory opinions often, right? So, yeah, it's something that I come across regularly. So I just immediately just heard this guy's betting against Bill Belichick going to the playoffs and back or missing the playoffs and back to back.
Quickly, I'll add. Well, like I said, you took a good one with WFT. I think the Eagles are a boring pick. With the AFC North, I have zero feel for, and I think giving the Bengals a pick is a cheap, easy one to give. I don't really know. I'm not as low on the Steelers as the people who have come on this pod are. I actually kind of side with Dave. I think they're going to be a tough matchup no matter what. And the Browns and Ravens are still good, so I have no feel for that division. And so when you're going back to the AFC East, I believe in the Dolphins. I don't even if the Bills regress, they're still going to be a playoff team. And so the Patriots are really like the one team left, like on a silver platter. It's like, look, some people are pretty high on them, some people are pretty low on them. I think even if they're mediocre, they're still in the playoffs.
That was kind of the math I was doing. Here's the thing with the Patriots that I think people are getting they're conflating these two things, and they can be mutually exclusive. The Patriots, as constituted, are no threat, really. But then again, Belichick has even taken down the Patrick Mahomes Chiefs. Did it, not that long ago. I guess it's getting to be a lifetime ago in NFL terms. But still, they have had some success against the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, high-powered Chiefs. That is not an indication, though, that they won't win more often than they lose. That they are going to try and grind you in some, I gather, some... 21st century pro football version of 3 yards and a cloud of dust. I think they're going to try to play power football with number one under center and those two tight ends, and they're going to loosen it up with the speed on the outside that they added. And the defense, if guys prove the pieces that sat down from COVID a year ago, if they disprove the longstanding notion that you can't take a year off of football and then return to the same form that you had before, if they can collectively disprove that theory, then I think they will be good. I just don't think that they're a team that's going to vanquish these high-octane, Justin Herbert Chargers or Patrick Mahomes Chiefs. But so what? Over the course of 17 games, I think they have a decent chance to get the double digits there. I could see them having 10 wins there. Those are two good picks there. I'm going to lay off for now. I threw it at you. I wasn't ready to announce another no playoffs for you. All right. Wow. You want me to? I will. Ready? Here we go.
I'm just saying. We see who's driving the show, huh, Spaghetti?
Here it comes. Ready? All right. I've considered it. I'm sorry. Philadelphia Eagles. No playoffs for you. Why you act like that's an obvious one, Spaghetti? I think a lot of people.
No,
He said it twice that he thought it was obvious.
I think it's ultra obvious. I think they're by far the fourth place team there. I think it's a fine pick. I mean, to go with them, to count them out already. Also, pretty funny to think about how bad times could be in Philadelphia if their team comes in fourth place and the Sixers, the number one seed, end up losing to the Hawks. It's if the Phillies don't make the playoffs, which doesn't seem like they will, with the Mets streaking the way they are. Flyers, no playoffs. Rough days in Philadelphia. Not that I can't say I'm unhappy about that, though.
Well, we talk all the time here, Martin, about the Sonic Award. We also talk about who has the brightest half-decade future in the Northeast, which sports town of the Northeast figures to win the most. I'll tell you, the Brooklyn Nets, they're going to win the title this year. Sonic Award, who's the entire state of Pennsylvania, Spaghetti, to your point, is maybe tracking to be sad. Because the Sonic Award is the sports town whose fans suffer the most over the calendar year. And obviously Pittsburgh has suffered a bit. But Philadelphia, to your point, Spaghetti, maybe we just give it to the whole state, the Keystone State, Penn State football, a little down from what I think those weirdos expect there in the middle portion of the state, Pitt football perennially. Putting guys first-round picks. Can't get past 7-6, though. On the college gridiron, but they are on the level of USC and Alabama and LSU in terms of putting high-end talent into the NFL. It's inexplicable and therefore vexing.
Can I ask a quick? Yeah, yes. can I ask? Okay. This is a Steelers question that I'm probably going to regret asking, but how will you rate a season or feel about a season if the Steelers end up with 10 wins? So winning record. Great. Browns end up with 11 wins, and let's say the Ravens end up with 12 wins. And then you just missed the playoffs because of those teams. How do you rate this season? How do you feel? Like, what do you do going forward now? You're like, oh, we had 10 wins, double-digit wins. Big Ben was fine. Just the division's really tough. I feel like that's no man's land. That's like the worst possible scenario for the Steelers.
Well, like I said on Extra Points the other day, this thing that we've gotten into, this like participation trophy thing, and I'm not one of those weirdos who's down on that. Has a weird tenor to it. The people who are like, our society is ruined by validating children. Those people are weirdos. but also, it's now extended into professional sports, and now it's crossed a line for me. Deshaun Watson is not required to win a title. You know, the idea that that Dame Lillard or Luka Doncic are not in winning organizations right now is not something I'm going to shed tears about. I mean, that's the way sports break. They only give one title out at the end of the year. They only give the one trophy. That's why it's interesting. We don't need to wring our hands and, well, we've got to pull our resources and start a GoFundMe page to get Dame Lillard to a better organization. What are we talking? It's very strange to me that that's the case. So, 10 wins for the Steelers would be a victory to me, especially in the 2021 AFC. Have you seen that thing? That's murderer's row. Who's going to survive that thing? I don't know. My expectation that the Steelers go to the be spectacular. I'd be over the moon, obviously, if it went that way. But a double-digit season in that conference with the schedule that the Steelers have, with all the questions being thrown the last 18-plus months at Big Ben Roethlisberger and everything else, that would be a successful season to me. I'd be bummed if they get to double digits and don't get to the Yeah, that's right, with that quarterback. Yeah, the guy who was an MVP candidate 11 weeks through the season without an offensive line or a run game. All right, let's switch, though. Because we mentioned Philly a little bit. Big one coming up for them against the Hawks. Quickly, in case anybody, I hesitate to talk too much about games that are going to tip off in a matter of minutes after this show posts. But quickly, Martin, how do you see this series playing out no matter what happens? I mean, I guess if the Hawks win game two, that might impact how you think the rest of the series right. goes there. But where do you think this one winds up? Who's awaiting the Nets, which it seems clear now it will be the Nets.
They're definitely awaiting the Nets. The Nets are unbeatable. The Nets are playing on easy mode, and everybody else is just on Hall of Fame. It's not fair. But I like Philly. As long as Embiid's knee will hold up, right. I like Philly a lot. Like, I think Embiid is as underrated as you can be to be an MVP candidate, right? Like, I'm not trying to – I think that people just are kind of like, oh, whatever, Joel Embiid, he's a good player and all. But, like, no, I think he's dominant and will dominate this series. And the biggest thing is Danny Green can't guard Trae Young. And as soon as everybody else knows that, then I think Atlanta doesn't have a curveball for him.
So what is the solution? Simmons on him?
I would play Tybull most of the series. Like, most of the game, I'd have Tybull coming. Like, you got to start Danny Green. Then you probably get him out of there, put Tybull on him for most of the time. And then in high leverage situations, I'm putting Simmons on him. I want Simmons on him all game, but I'm putting Simmons on him when, like, you know – Like what Tibbs tried to do when he subbed in Frank Nicolina with 10 seconds left, I would just have Ben Simmons just switch with 10 seconds left instead of a guy cold off the bench.
Why wouldn't we just leave him Simmons on him, though, just because tiring him out, or you wanted Simmons to guard a tall?
Yeah,
I figured that.
You just get tired, and you don't want Ben Simmons to pick up. I mean, he guarded him in game one, picked up two quick fouls.
Right.
You'd rather have Ben Simmons not in foul trouble and on the floor than, you know, guarding Trae Young.
I also feel like Embiid, there's a vibe about his unstoppability on the low block that they, you know, the Hawks in game one were just throwing bodies at him. And there's really, you know, not that much ultimately you're going to do to keep him from putting up 30 or thereabouts. It's stylistically so different than what most of the teams still standing are doing. I am fascinated always by those kind of what's going to win out. It's I always said now because I'm vain. I always point to, because I said in advance of the Cavs beating the Warriors in the midst of the dynastic run from the Dubs, I said, you watch the way that Cavs team is constructed. It's not just dynamic LeBron. It's their ability to bang them on the offensive glass that is going to win that series, and it did end up wearing them down. I do think when you're brawny, that's why I thought the Lakers were, for all the flash around I guess both ends of the bracket this year, I thought the Lakers are going to end up winning because nobody's going to be able to contend with that front line. And it was undone by injury, of course. But I do think, like you say, the bottom line is, I mean, what are you supposed to do if you're the Bucks, or for that matter, whoever survives this Hawks Sixers series? I mean, how scary is it that Harden isn't out there and they destroyed the Bucks? Weiss, you first. I mean, they're going to the finals and they're going to win it, right?
Yeah, it just shows that none of it matters. None of it matters. I've been sitting up all year trying to find reasons why, you know, they have to play defense, they have to do this, they have to do that. You know what? I was wrong. Because at the end of the day, when you have three of the top 10 players in the NBA on your team, you're going to win. Because there's only 10 players on the court at any given moment in the time. And the thing that's really, truly unfair about the Nets is that, when the Heat had three of the, you know, top 15 players in the NBA, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James, they weren't passing the ball to Joe Harris on the fourth reversal, right? They weren't passing the ball. The Nets role players are incredible. The Nets role players are the building of that roster, and the not only building but also the way that they were able to maintain and keep pieces as they made moves, you got to give them credit, because all these other teams, look at the Lakers, what happened when their star went down? You looked around, all of a sudden they're like, yo, how is this team even in fourth in the West? This team is the worst team ever. you looked at the Nets, they were in and out with their stars all the time, and they just continued to win.
It is, I don't even know what the analogy is for the Lakers. Yeah, you're right. Because all year I was like, oh, but don't you see that? I mean, their secondary pieces with Harrell and Schroeder and otherwise, those guys are problems one-on-one by themselves. And then all of a sudden you take out one piece and you're like, this team stinks. Boy, is this team junk. I'm trying to think of from the Schwarzenegger picture with Total Recall, with the guy, you think Quado is this big handsome guy, but then he opens his shirt and there's the ugly creature on the inside. Maybe that's a little too dated a reference for you guys, for you kids there with the Quado.
I'll tell you.
You don't know Quado? What it reminded me of?
Like,
open your mind. He's this little troll man who is attached to the body of a human. And he opens, open your mind. No?
Man, I can't believe I've gone 31 years of life and never experienced that before.
I can't believe it either. And I feel sad for both of you that you don't. And your lives have a hole in it that you don't even realize that needs to be filled by Quado.
But really, it reminded me of the Super Bowl this year. Because in the two weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, it was like, Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, right? And the Lakers all season was, if AD and LeBron are healthy, if AD and LeBron are healthy, if AD. And then you realize that they don't have a left tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like 2 seconds into the game, they don't have a left tackle. Like, you realize as soon as AD goes down, it's like, there's nobody else here. Where'd everybody go? Reminded me of that.
But you could have shown me that. Right? I'm like, they are. It's not just LeBron and AD. They are loaded with role guys and different kinds of players that'll give nightmares to whoever they're. You know, the five that goes out on the floor at any given time is suddenly going to be a handful to contend. Just gone. AD's out. Nope. This is a joke team. What's fun is overall. I'm obviously an old fella, and I like, in any situation, I'll root for a fan base, which is a more tenured fan base who suffered the most. These newfangled teams that play Sunbelt hockey or whatever. I don't weep for them when their team goes out, because they've only been in the league for 9 years. So how invested could the fans be with stuff like that? That said, it is kind of fun in the chalky NBA postseason that whoever wins it almost definitely is going to be a team that has very little history of success in the NBA. You know, if the Suns win it, what if the Clippers win it? And by the way, I think it is going to be – it's hard to call the West still. I kind of like where the Clips are. I think Clips-Nets is a fun finals at this point. But whoever winds up in it, it's going to be fun for those fan bases. The sad thing for the NBA is, as we've discovered here, or as I've discovered over the last weeks, is nobody in the New York Tri-State likes the Nets. They're all sad that the Knickerbockers went out. That's everybody's favorite team. Nobody, so the Nets are going to cut down the Nets, figuratively, not literally, because they don't do that in the NBA, but they really should do that. I don't know why they don't. Maybe you could get in someone's ear about that, Martin Weiss. But the Nets are going to end up cutting down the Nets unless you wish to make a case for any other team right here and now, Martin Weiss.
I mean, no, I don't. I would love to tell you how I think the Philadelphia 76ers could give them a game and how I think that Simmons and Tyable and who's going to guard Kevin Durant. But, like, you know what? I've been making this argument, Sheck, since approximately January. It's June 8th. It's been 6 months of this. I'm done. I give up. They win. They got it. Like, they're unstoppable. And until someone stops them, I'm going to quit making up all these straw man arguments as to why what I've seen no evidence of happening in the last 6 months potentially could happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't seen it.
KD
it ain't gonna
may
happen.
Not care. Right. KD, it's a big statement on Tuesday morning, spaghetti. What was it exactly? Do you have it? What the quote is from him?
Durant tweeted out, "Mans will do anything to advance their careers in this media shit. Wanting to be accepted by an industry that will dispose of you whenever they please. Keep me out of all that corny-ass talk about who's better and legacy and all that dumbass shit. I don't even talk like that." So that is quite the statement from Kevin Durant.
My reaction to that is, obviously, he is allowed to think whatever he wants, obviously, but you watch. People will overreact to this, like, he's one guy. His opinion is perhaps here's what I will say. His opinion is no more valid than mine or yours. He's allowed to think mm-hmm. that, but I'm allowed to disagree with that. Sports are fun. Here's what athletes want. I feel like they enjoy getting patted on the back. They enjoy being cheered. All human beings would enjoy those things. They don't like getting pushback about failure. They have to rationalize it on some level once they lose. Hey, we did our best. Can't hang our head. Just a game. You know, can't hang our head. Got to come back. They have to rationalize the losses. Again, we all have to do that sort of stuff. This is how you do it. Like, I don't care where you rank me. At the end of it, 20 years from now, Kevin Durant will care if you call him the greatest scorer in NBA history. But in the here and now, that's extra pressure that he doesn't want. And he's trying to rationalize his way around that. He doesn't like our part in the conversation. But Kevin Durant and all professional athletes and all professional sports leagues should keep in mind, they don't do a great job of it, is it all goes away without us. If we don't track these things, this thing of I don't care what you think, that's corny to track me versus Larry Bird and how this team is versus that team. Like, there's no way to track who you are, what value this title has versus any other. I get it as a human being. Like, I'm just out there doing my best and trying to win games and competing. Like, there's nothing in it for we fans if you take that away, in my opinion. How say you, Weiss?
So I say, first of all, I do agree. The entire thing goes because fans exist, right? That's why all of it exists. That's why Kevin Durant makes millions of dollars to play a sport. That's why we get paid the money that we get paid to do this right here, right? It's all about the
millions
idea
of
that
dollars.
We're providing content.
Millions.
Hey, if that's the case, Spaghetti, I'm going to need you to put me on -3 a little bit more often, okay?
Yeah, we make tons of money.
But, you know, but that's the idea behind it all is the idea that fans are consuming all of this, right? Both the games and then the shoulder programming around the games. But I do think he has a point in there in the idea of, like, I personally, this may be blasphemous, but I do not care who the best player in the NBA is right now. Like, it is not something that I care about. Like, it's not something that keeps me up at night, whether or not, like, I personally think that Kevin Durant, for like when he was in Golden State, was the best player in the NBA. But Shaq, if you want to tell me that you got LeBron, you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to argue with you, because there's very compelling reasons why it could be LeBron. And that just seems to me such a matter of opinion. So I think those types of things, like when he talks about keep me out the legacy, who's better than who, I agree in that context. But also, at the same time, I hope it don't sound like I'm walking a fence here, but at the same time, I do agree that fans have to exist, and fans, and on some level, that debate is going to exist. But I think that, like, I would much rather, you know what it is? Kevin Durant, I'd much rather talk about, do the Bucks have a chance to beat the Nets? They don't. So I have to find something else to talk about, because every team that you've been on in the last 5 years has been completely dominant if healthy. So what do you want me, I don't know what else to do, what else to talk about. Maybe that's on me as a broadcaster.
No, it's not anyone's requirement to do it. I think, you know, bare feet on men should not be exposed for that's because it nauseates me. It's not because I'm trying to impose my worldview. It's just gross to me on a basic level. Conversely, our pal Matt Money Smith sticks his nose into my business, in my wiener business. When I want to put some ketchup on my wiener, that's up to me. That's a decision between me and my wiener. And Matt Money Smith is not invited to weigh in on it, and yet he sticks his nose into it anyway and says, How dare you put ketchup on your wiener? Now, this Kevin Durant, all right, don't put ketchup on your wiener if you don't want. Don't tell me what I'm allowed, what's interesting or what's corny or otherwise. And by the way, that reminds me, I don't understand. I like three foods that are all delicious. Corn, cheese, and what's the other one? Spaghetti. They're all three. Corny, cheesy, and I can't think of what it. These are, corn is good, cheese is good. And
I've heard you do this before. There's another word.
They all mean the same thing. They're all bad food things. And they're all good. And why do we, why can't I think of what it is? Corny, cheesy, and anyhow, yes, those are all three good. Anyhow, okay, KD can say he doesn't care for that conversation. Again, like James Earl Jones, towards the end of Field of Dreams, he gives that whole speech that's a little too heavy-handed and is why baseball is too precious. But baseball marks American history. Like, yes, sports need the context of this guy versus that guy, generation versus generation. Those conversations, if nothing else, are fun, but they are how we measure. If you watch sports for any amount of time, you guys have watched sports for 20 years now. I've watched it for 23 years. I'm 35 and you guys are 30, 31.
There you go.
So, right.
Hashtag math.
So about that. yes, we all, this is what we do. And fine, Kevin Durant, one game at a time. Take down your next opponent and beat him mano a mano. I'm going to be a fan, and I'm going to root for what I want to root for. Let's get a baseball pick in here, shall we? On FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences. FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That is correct. You heard my words. I meant them. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win, and it only gets better from there. Check out FanDuel's new promo live every Tuesday. Guess what? It's Tuesday. $5 Dinger Tuesdays. Place a $25 plus wager on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday and get a $5 bonus in site credit for every home run hit in that game. I love using the FanDuel Sportsbook. You've heard me talk about it plenty. I love same game parlays. I love the quick payments that they provide and the fun bet types. Eddie Spaghetti, lay one on us now. Do you want to make a home run wager on Tuesday? You want to make a same game parlay? The world's your oyster.
Yeah, I want to give you some same game parlay picks now to set the table for tomorrow's Yankee game. Gerrit Cole pitching for the Yankees versus the under 500 Minnesota Twins. Randy Dobnak pitching for them. 1-5, 6.19 ERA. Yes, I know Gerrit Cole coming off a loss to the Tampa Bay Rays. A good Rays team. Cole's come out and said he just threw way too many high fastballs. I expect Hull to come in this game and dominate. So the one of the legs of this parlay, let's just say they set the line around 9, 9.5. I'm going to take the under total for that game just because the Yankees' bats have been kind of silent, especially when, you know, the table setter, DJ LeMay, who's not hitting the baseball, it's going to be tough for them to score runs. But they will score runs because Gary Sanchez, who's plus 320 to hit a home run, he will go yard in this game. And I think Gerrit Cole's going to come out with a vengeance. Like I said, Twins aren't very good. Whatever his strikeout number is, if it's, say, if it's 8.5, 9, I'm going to like the over on that one. I was right about my DeGrom pick last week, so I'm feeling Gerrit Cole going to come out and really help us out here. So under total runs, Gerrit Cole over strikeouts, Gary Sanchez a home run. Make that same game parlay pick, FanDuel.com/-3.
I like how Spaghetti says parlay, like it's a parfait. I don't know if he's right. Either way, he's probably right about his same game parlay. You should go bet it.
I have beef with you because you call yourself the accountant of taste.
Right.
That's the problem here. That's the problem that money has with you. You go around calling yourself the accountant of taste. In fact, Shaq, I tweeted you the other day because I wanted to know where bacon, egg, and cheese ranks in the food triumvirate. Like, you know, bake, like I feel like that's got to be a thing. Right? Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Wait a second. Bacon, egg, and cheese is three ingredients on a sandwich or what? Or is on a plate?
Like, as a combination. So this is where it all came from. This is where it was born. I've been making bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches when I wake up from my nap every day.
Hammy's the other one. He's being hammy. You reminded me of with bacon.
There you go.
Ham is also delicious. Why are we impugning three delicious foodstuffs? Go ahead.
But no, so I was making my bacon, egg, and cheese, I thought, is there any combination of three foods better that go to the, you know, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, but a bacon, egg, and cheese is a thing, right? You know what I'm saying? Three pieces of food that come together to form a thing.
Make like, a nice
pizza,
plate.
Obviously. Huh?
Like, yeah, make a nice plate. Is what you're saying. Like they blend.
Yeah, like a pizza has bread, has sauce, and cheese, right? That's three things, but that's not what I'm talking about. Bacon, egg, and cheese are three things on its own you put together to make bacon, egg, and cheese, and it's like a thing from New York. I've literally eaten one like probably 5 out of 7 days a week since I got back from Brooklyn.
Well, one of those boroughs in New York that you just mentioned there is Brooklyn, and in Brooklyn, there is the Big Three, and they complement each other nicely. So basically what we're looking for is the Brooklyn Nets of plate trios. Bacon, egg, and cheese?
Because you know the bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich.
I like
so
it.
Like, I was thinking
well, I like a
the
sausage.
Bacon.
Here's what I'll say. I love a bacon. I like a thick-cut bacon. That's very good. I like a sausage, never a patty. That's one to add to the list too, Spaghetti. There are things in the world, like why would you eat that when that's available in the world too? Like a pancake in a waffle world. Who does that? Why a pancake if they're offering waffles as well? Weird move. Same thing.
I have a great one for this.
Go ahead. Why?
I don't understand. Why does anybody
when you
eat?
Could get a link.
No, I don't understand why anybody eats macaroni salad. When you could just have macaroni and cheese. Like you could just so many, there's so many better things to do with the noodles than macaroni salad.
You're not going to get a lot of pushback from me on that. Now, I have in the past, a Shecky Award for best breakfast meat has gone to bone-in ham before. I think people sleep on it. They forget. If you, at Christmas time, have a ham, make sure you pull a little off on the side. Throw it in the fridge for tomorrow morning. And then when you wake up, be the hero of the house. Throw some of that, chop up some of that ham, throw it in a pan. People will start coming around. What is that? What is that divine smell going on? Oh, I'm just whipping up some leftover ham for you. You want some bone-in ham with some eggs, if you please? You'll be the hero, like I say. Now the world of links is so rich now with the andouille sausages and the linguiça from Portugal, if you please, and the chorizo. And so on and so forth. I think I go link overall over your bacon. And I'm sorry, but again, I'm not going to stand in your way of getting a nice piece of thick-cut bacon. Eddie Spaghetti, you look like you're about to fall asleep.
No, I didn't want to cut anyone off. I am a sausage is fine, like the links, but it's like for breakfast, I think of a patty for a sandwich just makes more sense how it fits on a sandwich. I mean, yeah, bacon, egg, and cheese, though, is probably a staple of New Yorkers. So
what's the breakfast? I'm trying to think of the Brooklyn Nets of breakfast. I'm gonna.
You know, I mean, think on it. You know, but I bacon, egg, and cheese is hard to beat.
Okay.
And andouille sausage is more of a lunch thing for me.
How about if we have to go one meat, one cheese, one egg prep? Then I'm gonna go poached. I'm gonna go with an andouille sausage. Nice spicy Cajun sausage. And then my cheese of choice, feta, happens to make the nicest omelet. But we're not talking omelets here. I'm going to go with I've lately taken a shine to, have you had Robusto? Have you had a nice Robusto? It's very sharp. It's like a Parmesan. I eat it straight. I'm going to go with that as my Brooklyn Nets of breakfast plates.
Eat it straight off the rack.
And a nice 7-grain toast, if you please.
I do have to say, I would go thick cut bacon. I have to scramble my eggs. That's the only way I can eat my eggs scrambled. And the rest, anything else is just, you guys can have it. I'd scramble them, and I've been making mine recently with cheddar cheese, but pepper jack cheese would be my pepper jack cheese, I love it.
I feel like pepper jack tries a little too hard. It's cloying. It's like, yeah, we're just regular cheese, but we're going to throw some spice things into it. We're going to take credit for the spice being mixed into our... it's fine. It's fine. I'm not going to get down on you for it. Spaghetti, how say you? If you want to address this one, you can. Or you can move us to our next and perhaps final topic. We have to talk about Martin Weiss. We're pleased and proud of his rise in the ranks of sports media here. We met him, 4 or 5 years ago, doing great stuff with Broussard and Rob Parker. Like we say, he and Parker chopping it up there on Lemon Pepper Parlay. Rob Parker, of course, king of the hot takes, or among, or at least at the night's round table of hot takers. Eddie Spaghetti, do you have any questions you want to throw Weiss's way here?
Yeah, we kind of, the three things I wanted to get into were the KD stuff, which we did, and I appreciate Martin coming forward and saying that, you know, he was wrong going against the Nets, and I was wrong too. I gave out the Bucks pick. I thought they were going to surprise us in game one. I was like, yeah, Coach Boob.
Oh, that's defense. Right. I forgot. I forgot you had the Bucks.
Good right. Bench. They got guys like Bobby Portis averaging like 11-7. I'm like, there's no way, and Martin's right again. Like the bench, people who don't talk about it enough, the bench on Brooklyn, the role players there, they're a really deep team and a well-coached team by Steve Nash. So I feel like no one's even
and let me throw into that Hench called that one a couple weeks ago when I started to swoon over this potential series. I thought it was just going to be an awesome all-time shootout, and he said, you think Chris Middleton's ultimately going to be able to keep up with those guys? I mean, he's got to fill it up on the level of the big three, and he did cite that, and he has been Drew Holiday and Middleton, probably not the supporting cast that I guess if KD is the number one there. I don't even know if you would say that he's the number one out of those three, which makes him so fascinating. But anyhow, what else?
They're plus 105 round to win it all, the Nets, if you want to go on fanduel.com/-3, make that bet better than my Bucks pick. But we could do a little choose your own adventure, though. So we hit one of the three things. The two last things I want to get into, and Martin's up to you, either react to Sheck's pick of your Saints being the NFC South winners, or give me the Rob Parker. And we love Rob Parker. Obviously, you guys, Lemon Pepper Parlay is awesome. Fox, you guys are together there. A lot of great debates, a lot of funny comments he makes, and he seems to be in the news ever so often with one of his great hot takes. Which hot take by him drives you the craziest? So either react to Saints or react to the Rob Parker take, whatever you want. I just need to know the answers to those. Yeah.
I'll give you both real quick. Saints win the division? Yes. All right. Rob Parker's
most. Do you agree with that, or do you just like?
Yes. No, I agree. I agree. I agree.
This Drew Brees thing, I get the genuflection to Drew Brees if you're from the Bayou and what he did for the community immediately after Katrina.
It'll be nice to have a quarterback with a rifle, though.
Right. He couldn't throw. The idea that nobody but he's winning pre-snap. Definitely valuable. How about a guy who can throw the ball past 11 yards? Also valuable. Continue.
Winning post-snap would be cool, too.
Right.
That would be awesome. The Rob Parker take that gets me the most, I said, gets me the angriest. I'll phrase it like this. The Rob Parker take that I find the most nonsensical, the one that I find the most least based in reality, the one that I find is like, how are you concocting this in your brain? Because I'm watching the same basketball that you are and reading the same articles that you are. And somehow you have this opinion when it's just me, and not only me, but the rest of America seemingly has another one. But it's the idea that Steph Curry is not a generational player, is not a generational talent, and has never hit a big shot. As Steph Curry's not the greatest shooter of all time. And it's just like, it's one of these that sometimes, you know, Shaq, you know, you're talking to somebody and they're like, you know what? The sky is green. And you're like, no, it's blue. And they're just, it's green. I'm telling you, it's green. And they're just so adamant that it's green. And it's like, you know, after a while, man, you know, if the sky is blue or if it's green, whatever it is, this is really affecting you here. You know what I'm saying? Like, is at the end of the day, is this going to kill everybody? Is this something that's going to really affect my bottom line? Like, on Friday, when my paychecks hit, is there going to be more or less in there depending on that, whether you think the sky is green? So sometimes that's kind of the attitude that I have to go with it, right? Because otherwise, you will catch yourself standing over here slamming the table, screaming into the microphone about what is wrong with you. Get some glasses, old man.
It is.
But yeah, it is to be the Steph Curry one.
That's a very good answer.
I hear you. And of course, it requires that you watch Steph Curry in a vacuum and pay no mind to Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or anyone else who has the ball in the last seconds of a game. I mean, that most guys do not make 50% of their game-winning attempts. That's the bottom line. So you can impugn anybody by that measure. Like, how many big shots has he hit? Let me see with the ball in his hands in a tied game or down a point, what his percentage of makes was in that. Like, everybody's is going to be bad. And so I hear you. Yeah. Listen.
Well, this is also when you look at the amount of threes that Steph Curry takes, the accuracy in which he makes them, and the distance in which he takes them from, there is no other player in the league's history who has done it as consistently as long as he has. Now, Damian Lillard has started to stretch out and take some shots like that, but that was two or three seasons after Steph started to do it. Steph was first. Now there's only three guys in the league who will even attempt it, and that's Trae Young and Dame and Steph. That's it.
Oh, and Luka, but I do think about that. It's kind of like Odell Beckham. Somebody had to do it. And now everybody says over the last whatever, it's been 7-8 years. Oh, like we all can do that. Like, well, then why didn't you do it then? Because now Odell's famous and rich because he did that. And now a lot of guys do it, but somebody has to be first. And Steph Curry, it does matter who's first to anything. And Steph Curry was the first guy to I'm gonna make it from 35 on purpose. I'm going to do this. It's not the shot clock's not down. I'm doing it because this is a comfortable range for me.
I just have one thing, because you just said something and it reminded me. You brought up Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic is being wasted right now in Dallas because Kristaps Porzingis is a fraud. He's a fraud. He's a 7'3 power forward, 7'3 shooting guard who plays like he's 6'5. And if he was 6'5, he'd be on the bench. He's only out there because he's so damn tall and he makes so much money. And you know what? The world, we owe Phil Jackson an apology. We owe Phil an apology because he was right about Kristaps Porzingis. And nobody's ever going to give him his flowers. He's just wrong about everything else. Like, takes the bus in New York City. What type of madman does that? However, he was right about Kristaps Porzingis. And that trade from now on is officially the Tim Hardaway Jr. trade.
The only asterisk I put on that one is, how old is Porzingis now? 24? I mean, there's still a lot of time left. I'm with you, though, that to me, what was it, 6-8 weeks ago, I said he could be the X factor of the entire West there, and that proved inaccurate.
Yeah, no.
All right, yeah, listen, I think this was a good time. Eddie Spaghetti, what do you think?
I was a lot of fun. I wish we had Martin on sooner, but we'll do it again soon, maybe closer to finals time. And thank you for saying the Knicks did not make a bad trade. I need to hear that. So we'll that's the
clip. I mean, show. Listen, at the time, I was like, what is he doing? But now history has proven that we were wrong and Phil was right. Phil deserves an apology for that.
Interesting. Interesting. Listen, not going to get a big disagreement from me. Awesome stuff, Martin Weiss, Eddie Spaghetti, good times. And thanks to you, the listener, make sure you're betting all the things that we covered here. And, you know, if you want to fade us, so be it. I'm not going to get upset about it. Either way, FanDuel.com/-3, the word minus, the number 3 is how you do it. Follow along all the fun. -3 pod on Twitter and beyond. And we'll be back in just a couple of days. We'll know what happened in that Bruins and Islanders game. We'll know what happened in game 2 with the Sixers and the Hawks and beyond. Lots of fun upcoming. Until then, thanks so much. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Hammy, cheesy, corny.